Well, praise the Lord. Let me just say this by the word of knowledge. And you know who you are, who I'm talking about, but Jesus needs to become bigger than that sickness to you. And the sickness and the thoughts and the symptoms and the diagnosis and what they're saying and reports have become bigger to you than Jesus. And you're troubled with many thoughts, many discouragements, many, despair is what I'd really like to say about it, but Jesus. And you know, a lot of times when I get bogged down in the thought realm and the mental realm and the emotional realm, I'll just say that name of Jesus over and over and over and over again, because Jesus is the yoke destroyer. Amen. And that despair and that cloud of heaviness, of being put off and, you know, discouraged about that and the time that's gone by and the feelings. Listen, I get it. I know what it was like to feel it for 2 years straight of just nonstop pain, and I get it, but that you can't allow that discouragement and that despair to get in. It's a yoke. But Jesus, this is your help this morning. Amen. We didn't practice that last one. We didn't plan on doing that last one. That was given for this purpose. And it's your help. And either you're going to do what I tell you to do or you're not going to do what I tell you to do. And you'll get into that discouragement, despair, and it'll get darker and darker for you. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is bigger. Amen. And if you'll just worship Him, I mean worship Him, just lose yourself in Him, the anointing will set in. God will give you revelation and help will be on the way. Praise God. Well, I love when stuff like that happens. It's our help. Go with me to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful already for what we've received, Father. Just the offering message and worshiping You and the word of knowledge. I mean, we could walk out and say, wow, God showed up today. But Lord, there's more. And we know this was the main part of Jesus' ministry, going about, preaching and teaching. Why? Because the preaching and the teaching leads to the faith. The faith leads to the victory. So we welcome this part of service. We like the other parts, but we welcome this part as well. And we reverence this part, and we're hungry for this part. We're expecting good things to come out of this part. And Father, we know one word from You can change the course of our future, can turn destinies around, can change our life. So, Lord, speak to us this morning. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. May I not speak with enticing words of man's wisdom, but Father, as the oracles of God and demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank You that words will flow from me of peace and life and help and encouragement, correction if need be. And Father, we'll be set free. We'll walk into a new level of glory. We're going forward with You, Father. Every service is an opportunity to go higher, to get better, to better our circumstances, better our situations, to equip ourselves. So thank You, Father, for all that we'll receive today. We honor You. We look to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on Wednesday night when I was preaching, and if you haven't been, you know, here on Wednesdays, please, Wednesday services are for the whole church. Amen. You know, the equivalent of not going back at least to listening to a Wednesday service is like someone wonderful dropping something in your P.O. box, a blessing for you, and you just decided not to get it. That's the equivalent of it, because God's given your pastor things on Wednesday night, and I'm delivering them. And when you don't go back and partake of it, it's the equivalent of just leaving a blessing by that was for you. I get it. Not everyone can maybe be here, but if you can, be here. But we all have the ability to go back and look, praise God. And I do encourage you. But on Wednesday night when I was preaching about, you know, where to cast our cares, but you're not to cast the wrong things. And one of the things that we said is don't cast away your faith. But as I was preaching along those lines, I got a word of knowledge as I was preaching. And again, a word of knowledge is just when the Lord, it's one of the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. It's when the Lord supernaturally reveals something to you concerning past or present events that you otherwise wouldn't know unless He told you. Well, when I was preaching this. A word of knowledge dropped into my heart about what I was preaching at the time, and it was so clear. I just had a knowing instantly and then knew I was to preach on it. And the cool thing was, it was confirmed after service by several people, whether right after service, whether it was through text message, phone calls, whatever, that the Holy Ghost knew what he was talking about. But the Holy Spirit said, this, people, the exact words were, people are missing it in this area. When I was preaching that, and I was surprised because we've talked a lot about that, but I know how life gets. And, you know, we can drop things and let things down and put things down, and life gets in the way. But it's important for us to be skillful with the Bible. We can sit around with a religious mindset on our hands and just expect God to do it, or we can sit around frustrated and, well, you're either going to do it. We have a part to play. If you want out of your situation, whatever that is, poverty, sickness, disease, depression, fear, torment, anxiety, whatever it is, if you want out of that situation, you can get out of it. But he's not just going to reach down and pull you out of it without your cooperation. When you were in the worst position ever in your life, which was spiritual death, he didn't just reach down and pull you out without you doing something. Well, you had to believe. You had to cooperate with the word. And so when he says to us, people are missing it here, he's not saying that to expose people and make people feel bad. He's saying that to say, stop missing it here, because what you're missing is hurting you. And even last night after I preached it, get testimony, I just think, man, Lord, you really make me look good. I mean, like, I really know what I'm doing up here. I mean, my goodness, you know, calling things out and stuff. That's only because he gives it to me, right? It sure can make the minister look good at times. But I'm thankful for him. And so Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, I want to talk about where we're missing it and see here. But it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, spent all she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched me? His disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you're saying, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The force of faith. What did I say before we read the story? Whatever you're in, you can get out of it. Faith can make you whole. But if you choose to be sourpuss and grumpy gills and discouraged and just mad and live in your feelings and your flesh, you'll stay in that same position. I know being down financially in abject poverty and sickness like no other, the temptation to just throw in the towel. I know. And thank God this woman, if anybody had a temptation to throw in the towel, I had it for 2 years. She had it for 12 years. I wasn't a social outcast. She was a social outcast. I didn't spend everything I had trying to find a cure. She spent everything she had to try to find a cure. None of it worked except for one thing, and it was faith, praise God. And the Bible says, Jesus said to her, your faith. So basically, what she demonstrated is something we can look at. Don't people do that all the time in different things? You know, you look for somebody, whether it's a dance competition, whether it's gymnastics, whether it's figure skating, you know, you look at someone who had a routine that was spot on, right? It was so good. Well, you can take that routine back and you can watch that routine and find out, what did that person do that the judges liked that got that score? Well, this woman did something that Jesus liked. And she got wholeness that day. Praise God. And isn't it amazing that the Bible tells us that multitudes were thronging him. Why were they reaching for him? Because they knew, you have what I need. But only one touch caused Jesus to be stopped in his tracks. How do we know? Because Jesus was going and then stopped and said, who touched me? And the disciple says, you're crazy. Everybody's touching you. And Jesus said, not like this person. Because something came out of me with this one touch. Everybody else was touching him, needing something. No doubt many of them needing healing and didn't get a thing from him that day. The power only went out when one person touched him. Amen? I love using this example. I mentioned it last night because it makes sense to me. You know, it just, it's simple to see. But if you were to bring someone in here from a year before there was electricity, and anybody knew anything about lights, and they came in, and it was dark outside, but they came in here and they saw the lights, say, wow, that's amazing. You something that enables us to see when it's dark out, you know, and it's not fire related, you know, with a candle or whatever. And they sat here, they'd be able to see, they'd be thrilled, wow, this is amazing. And then if you said, okay, come back, we're gonna have service the next night, and you brought them back in here and the lights were off, they would think to themselves, it doesn't work anymore. It's not working. When we all know, because we're skillful, no, the power's still here. Right. You just got to cooperate with the power to get it to work. Right. They don't know anything about light switches. Right. See, they just walked in, it was on. They've never seen this before. But when you walk in, it's not on, you think it's not working anymore. Well, a lot of people think God's power's not working for them anymore. A lot of people this day would have walked away thinking, the power's not working. But Jesus is the power, and just like the electricity is always here, the power is always available. Healing's always available. God's always a healer. He's never going to change. He's always a provider. He's never going to change. He's always a deliverer. He's never going to change. But we see here multitudes needing something, but didn't impress the judge on that day. One of them got the power. And you know what's interesting? Is Jesus wasn't looking for someone to dole his power out onto. He didn't even know who it was that touched him. Whether or not the power flowed into this woman had nothing to do with Jesus. Whether or not the power flowed to the other people had nothing to do with Jesus. Had everything to do with what he said, which is what? Your faith. Your faith. We're going to hit some bullseyes this morning, so be ready, praise God. Your faith. Well, apparently, it wasn't just about showing up and being in the right place. Isn't that how we think sometimes? Why am I going through this? I'm faithful to go to church. I even serve and I even tithe. So what? Big deal. If in private, you're not in faith, the power's not flowing to you. If in private it's complaining and despair and discouragement and grumpy gills and no, you're not in faith. I'm sorry. The Bible says peace and joy in believing. If there's no peace and no joy, which a lot of you really need to, oh, I'm in joy. Well, you should probably inform your face. Joy looks like something. It sounds like something. And if you're not in faith, I don't care how faithful you are to your church. I don't care how moral you are. I don't care how much of a giver you are. I don't care how kind you are to your spouse, how good you are as a parent, as a grandparent. It does not matter. God's power does not flow on morality. God's power does not flow on faithful church attendance and faithfulness to your church. God's power flows on faith and faith alone. And if we're missing it in an area, we're going to miss out on what he has for us. So there was something about her faith that was different than anybody else that needed something. Because we know God's not picking and choosing. Jesus is just walking, mind his own business. Power's always there. Who's going to turn a light switch on? She did. And go with me to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. You know, it's kind of like the person Pastor Nancy was telling about how there was a lady in her church, a very faithful lady in her church that works for her, serves and everything. But anyways, this faithful lady ran into somebody at the store who hadn't been in church. And they're going through some things, man. I mean, they fell off the wagon. And she talked to her, and then the faithful lady said, you know, what's going on? We missed you. And the lady said this. She said, I'm mad at God. And I loved what the faithful lady's response was, and Pastor Nancy loved what the faithful lady's response was. That lady said, how's that working out for you? You stay mad. You stay grumpy. You can stay discouraged. God's not your problem. He's the unchangeable one. You know why I'm saying this? Because somebody needs to hear this right now. You've been hoodwinked. And it's all over you. I'm just telling you. You can sit there and be mad and grumpy and not believe God and discouraged and caught up in your flesh and your mind. It's not going to change your situation. Faith is going to change your situation. And just like she said that to that woman, stopped her in her tracks, how's that working out for you? God's the unchangeable one. Power's always available. Well, I haven't received it. Well, maybe, just maybe, you're not cooperating. It's like those people could walk out of here. We couldn't have church because the lights didn't work today. And then you just didn't cooperate with the lights. But this woman cooperated. And 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13 says, we, having the same spirit of faith. Well, the spirit of faith, what does that mean? A spirit of believing, of expectation, of being so persuaded. You know, when it talks about the spirit of faith, I think of Caleb and Joshua. Back in the Old Testament, you know, they were one of the 12 spies sent to spy out the land that God told them they could have the promised land. And what, there were tests, trials, it was hard. But remember what the Bible said about Caleb and Joshua. It said they had a different spirit about them. What was their spirit? Well, they saw the exact same things as the other 10. They felt the exact same things as the other 10. They knew the walls, the cities, the fortresses were there. But the spirit in them was, I don't give a rip about that. All I'm looking at is God. I'm believing God. Hallelujah. The same spirit of faith. Well, the spirit of faith can be seen. This woman had a spirit of faith, which caused her to receive. But the Bible says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore, or because of my belief, the next response, or the natural response when you believe, is therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. So the Bible says that a person that has the spirit of faith will have two things: believing, and they'll be saying it, what they're believing. Well, the Bible said Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit about them, and I told you that spirit was the spirit of faith. Well, if you go back and look and remember, when the 10 were reporting how bad it was, Caleb and Joshua didn't just walk in a place of belief. They demonstrated their belief by what they said. What'd they say? We're well able to overcome this. God is bigger than this. We can do this. Let's go up and possess the land at once. Well, what'd they have? A spirit of faith. And they ended up getting in 40 years later. You know, it took them a little while being connected to the wrong people, but they got in. Now, go back with me to Mark chapter 5 and verse 27. Remember, this woman's faith made her whole. Your faith, if you'll get into true faith and stay there, it will make you whole. When Jesus had heard, or when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now look at this. Verse 27 is the demonstration of the first part of the spirit of faith. I believed, right? She's not getting out of bed, out of her house as a weak, poor woman, social outcast, blood condition, crowds surrounding Jesus. She's weak. How's she going to get through the crowds? Can't touch people, has to shout unclean. If she touches people, that sends them into a mess of a situation. She doesn't get out and go pressing through the crowd to touch him if she's not in belief. But the spirit of faith is not in belief alone. Verse 28 says, "For she said." Now, I looked up that word said in the Greek. And it has everything. You can look it up too in a concordance. Not hard. You know, when I say I looked it up in the Greek, that's not, ooh, wow, he's smart. No, I just bought a book and turned the page to where the number said it was. I mean, that's all I did. But it makes me sound really smart. Wow, Greek scholar up there. No, just know how to turn the page to the number. But that word said is all vocalization. And this is why people ask me about the King James Version. And why don't you use others? I use others for study. The King James is, by far, in my opinion, the most accurate to the original Greek and the Hebrew. Of course, you have to get through all the these and the thous and some of the language they use to find out what it means today. But a lot of modern translation says, "For she thought in her heart." No, she didn't think anything. She out loud with her mouth opened her mouth and said, "If I touch his clothes, I'll be whole." How do we know that has to be the case? Because she was in faith, and faith is always two places, heart and mouth. Kim, why would you please bring up the amplified version of this? "For she kept saying." There's no doubt that it wasn't just the crowd spread and they laid down rose petals for her. No. There's no doubt. On her way there, someone probably would have shouted, "Unclean, get in your house. What are you doing? Get away from me." That would have been in her head. But you know what? I just need to touch his clothes. This will be all over if I just touch his clothes. And no doubt she was weak physically and was getting thrown around. You know, one of my favorite things after the Bills game, well, especially when Pastor Tim would go with me, we parked in the same place every time, you know. I knew that stadium in and out. And after the game, when all the crowds were there, Pastor Tim and I liked to pretend we were Thurman Thomas, the Bills Hall of Fame running back. And we liked to run through the crowds and kind of get bumped around as we're going and getting through there and stuff. But it's hard getting through crowds. And when you're sick and malnourished and blood conditioned and weak, no doubt she was getting knocked around. Other people, "Get out of the way, get out of the way. Oh, that's that dirty woman." And thoughts, but she just kept saying. In the midst of her storm, she kept saying. But she kept saying the right thing. She kept saying, "I touch him, it's over. If I touch him, it's over. If I touch him, it's over." Yes. Have you getting bumped around in life through symptoms and sickness and finances and pressure and people and things? Have you kept on saying? Or did your mouth get filled with either silence or a different confession? Because she could have just gotten quiet and said, "This is worthless." Or she could have said, even worse, out loud, "This isn't going to happen for me. I just knew it. I just knew it was going to stay the same way." Nope. The spirit of faith keeps on saying. Amen. Till what? It shows up. Amen. So, you need to ask yourself and look in the mirror. And this is where the Holy Ghost told me. I already know for many people, the answer is, I haven't been doing it. The Holy Spirit said, this is where we're missing it. And I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, I was surprised. Because I've preached on saying a lot. But I get it for my own self too. You know, this is encouraging me and helping me. This is where we're missing it. And then after the service, "Oh, Pastor, I have this, that. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You're helping us." Amen. Well, only you know if you've kept on saying, but I want to show you in Hebrews 10:23, we looked at that during the offering, but let me bring something out that I didn't see it this clear until last night. Everybody else touching Jesus that day was just going through the motions. Going through the motions is not faith. Notice what he says here. Now remember, the spirit of faith is two things. It's believing and speaking. But notice what it says to hold fast to. That means to hold on tight, to don't let go. He doesn't say hold fast to the believing part of your faith. I never saw it like that before. He points out to hold fast to the confession part of your faith without wavering, because it's like this. When the running back's running for the goal line, they're not trying to strip off his cleats and knock his cleats off him. They're not even trying to knock the helmet off of him. What are they trying to do? Knock the ball out of his hands. Why? Because if the ball crosses the goal line, there's a score and that team's victorious, right? The Bible tells you the thing that's going to be tried to get knocked out of you is what you're saying. Hold on tight to the confession. Because why? If you'll keep the confession and it can't get knocked out of you, guess where you're going to end up? The goal line. The end zone. You will end up there. Why? Because he is faithful. If you'll be faithful to keep on saying and hold fast your profession of your faith, then you'll see the faithfulness of him. But let's be honest, if the Holy Ghost is saying we're missing it in this area, then guess what? We're missing it in this area. Mark 11, 23. Praise God. Confession and speaking the word is not just some fairy tale ritual that us faith people do. No, there's power in the release. You think about salvation. And I'd already mentioned that in the darkest of the darkest place you've ever been, you might not realize how dark it was in, but you were in spiritual death, hellbound. That didn't get turned around until you opened your mouth and confessed something. That confession brought the power of God to translate you out of darkness into light. Jesus didn't just say things to fill up time and space. And in Mark 11, 23, he says, "For verily I say unto you." When he says, "For verily I say unto you," he's saying, of a truth, I want you to know something. That whosoever, here it is, shall say unto the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have what he says. How many times have we looked at this verse? Have we heard me preach on it? Pastor Michael preach on it? Guest ministers preach on it? We know, but yet our days go by with nothing in our mouths or the wrong things in our mouths, but yet we still, it's kind of like this. You take a week off of work and it's payday and you getting ticked off that you didn't get a paycheck. And Jesus said, you'll have what you say. It's like people being ticked off at God because their healing's not here, their finances haven't turned, this is still going on. But if you were to ask yourself honestly, you know what? I have not held fast to that confession. And Jesus only said, just like your boss only says, paycheck for the one that works. Receiving or having only for the one who's saying. It's not a light thing, people. Change comes through the saying. Why? Because the saying is the release of the faith. And what does God need? He needs to flow on faith. Go with me to Mark 11 and verse 12. If you don't renew your mind to this, you won't do it, obviously, but things just stay the same. He didn't say he'll have what you need, what you're desperate for, what you've suffered for years, and he's just finally going to, you know. See, we got to stop thinking that's how God is. If I just tug on his heartstrings enough, you know, and complain enough, or whine and moan and groan enough, say, oh, well, I thought he was merciful. He is merciful. He sent you Mark 11:23 to change every situation you could have. That's what he did. In Mark 11 and verse 12, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And notice this, Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit from you hereafter forever. Now notice this, and his disciples heard it. That means it was out loud. And she said, if I just touch his clothes. And Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Well, Jesus cursed the fig tree and said, no one will eat fruit from you hereafter. And of course, they went on and ministered and did their thing where they were. And then verse 19 came, and when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So this is the next day. And Peter calling to remembrance. Peter remembers what happens the day before. Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed. How'd you curse it? With your words. You opened your mouth. Has withered away. Now, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is where Greek concordances and things come really in handy. Have faith in God. That's a true statement. You have to have faith in God. God is the one that's going to come through. It's not your words that change things. It's God that changes things. Right? It's always interesting to me because we don't brag on our words. Listen, when the walls of Jericho came down, you know what they did? They shouted at it and blew the trumpets, but trumpets and words don't cause walls to fall down. But you know what blowing the trumpet and shouting at the wall was? It was the release of faith. Amen. And you know what can cause the walls to fall down? God can. Amen. And God said, I need a release of faith for these walls to come down. That's the truth. There, we could sit here until next week and yell at that wall. I'll play my guitar as loud as I can. You get all your instruments. We'll bang on them and you shout. And the wall will still be there. It wasn't the words and the instruments that caused the walls of Jericho to finally come down. It was people that believed God and released their faith. It's so awesome. So yes, you need to have faith in God, but in my Bible, in the center column, it tells me the original rendering of actually in the Greek what Jesus was saying, and we know that's true because Jesus just demonstrated it, and then he would say, just do what God does. And so my Bible in the center, it says, have faith in God, which applies. Actually, it reads, have the faith of God. Well, what did Jesus just do? When he needed change, he didn't think about it. He didn't sit there and beg and pray about it. He didn't sit there and daydream and just hope about it. Not saying those things are bad. But for the catalyst for change was what? He opened his mouth and spoke to it. Well, the Bible then says, have the faith of God. Well, when the earth was void and dark, and the oceans get formed, and the stars, and the planets, and the sun, and the moon, and the trees, and the mountains, and the animals, how did it all come to pass? He spoke it. Hebrews 11 says, we know that by faith the worlds were framed or built out of nothing by the word of God. And so now the Bible's saying, have the faith of God, which is what? When you need a change, change things how God would change things. Which is what? Jesus just showed you. Speak to it. Speak to the situation. Well, what I love about it, then he says, have the faith of God, Peter. Like, if you'll do things like God does things, and of course Peter would know about the Old Testament, and what But then Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, I love it. Now he's saying, have the faith of God, and this is available to you, Peter. And we don't have to get sad and say, oh, he's only talking to disciples, because now he's going to include you. That whosoever. Now he's saying, it'll work for anybody. It would have worked for all those people touching Jesus that day. Oh, I'll say it this way. It would work for all those people touching Jesus that day, but only one worked it. It will work. I've watched it as a pastor. I've watched people overcome, and I've watched people be overcome. And it is available to everybody. It works for everybody, but only few work it. And it's the truth. And so now Jesus says, anybody that will say unto the mountain, be removed and be cast to sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. There's the first part of the spirit of faith, believing, and then speaking. And remember what I always say. Just speaking faith words without faith in your heart to back it up are empty words. So what do? You deal with the faith part first. How do you get the faith part? Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. You get all that faith built up in your heart, and then it's meant to be released. The power of God doesn't just flow on words. It flows on faith words. Well, go with me, and we'll close in this portion of Scripture, James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 2. The Bible says, for in many things we offend all. That word offend means to stumble. We trip up. But if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. See how much can be controlled by the words of your mouth? Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. We've talked about this before, but it's important to see it again. A bit is small in comparison to a horse. But the Bible says that bit can control the whole horse. Ask Julie Clendenning about the time. Is this all right? I mean, it's already out there last night. We might as well just keep going. That she hopped on the horse without the bit in the mouth. And Julie ended up in the water trough. Took off running and threw her right in. She says to me, if I'd have just had a bit in the mouth, I could have controlled that horse. Could have slowed that horse down, could have stopped that horse, could have turned that horse right or left. And the Bible says we put bits in the horse's mouth, so it's talking about something small, being able to turn, change direction. Anybody need a turning, a direction change in their life? And then it says, behold the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they're turned in the midst of the storm. The ship can turn against the wind and go where it needs to go by a very small helm. Wheresoever the governor or the captain listens, or wherever the captain wants to go. So when the captain wants the boat to go right, he doesn't have to get out with tons of machinery and huge things to turn it. Nope, just turn the helm. And the whole thing goes right. I need to go left. Okay, I want to stay course straight. Okay. Verse 5, even so the tongue. Even so the tongue, what's that mean? The tongue is just like the bit, and the tongue is just like the helm. The direction of your life depends on the bit, depends on the helm, and depends on the tongue. Proverbs 18:21, death and life, the power of the tongue. Death and life in the power of the tongue. Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. What does it say over there? Oh, I think it's Matthew 18. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose or allow on earth will be loosed in heaven. Wow. The tongue, which produces words, has the power to produce death and life. It's like the bit and it's like the helm. if the governor or the captain just decides to take his hands off the helm and do nothing with the helm? Well, you are then subject to what the wind's going to bring you, what the waves are going to bring you, and you're just tossed around by life. No control, no nothing. If the governor's going straight, and straight, also there's going to be a barrier there, another ship or land or something that you can't, and the governor decides, or let's say they're going this way and the wrong way is that way, and they're going this way, and they decide to make a hard left and crash into that, you can do it the wrong way too. And whatever you do with that helm, it's going to go that way. What am I saying? Well, when it comes to words, you cannot say anything and just be open to whatever. Or you can even be worse and just say the wrong things. But see, when Jesus said you'll have what you say, he didn't say it only works when it's good things. And remember, the direction of the helm is where you're going to end up. If the direction of the helm is straight, it's telling you your future is straight. If the direction of the helm is turned right, it's telling you it's the same thing with your words. If your words are saying, what was that woman's words? If I just keep touching his garment. What was she doing? Declaring where her future was going to end up. She set her helm to victory. But so many of us, this never works for me. And remember, Jesus didn't say you'll have what you don't say. Or we don't say anything, or I'm always sick, first one to get it. This is killing me. Why would you set your helm on that course? Even in the midst of the hell that I was in, what was I doing? Preaching my testimony when there was no testimony to be found. Why? I was setting my helm to where we're going. When I was $2,000 short, couldn't pay my bills, and it looked horrible, but I was saying all my bills are paid on time all the time, supernatural debt payoff, a salary, insurance coming for me. What was I doing? I wasn't there yet, but I was setting my course. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going to end up. Man, some of you need to check your steering wheel. Because the course you've set for yourself is not where you want to end up. Well, my kids are this. Oh, man, why would you want to end up there? That's why I tell you every day, man, I'm speaking over my life. What am I saying? All the days of my life, I'm healthy, wealthy, protected, full of joy, full of peace, favor. Why? Setting my course. Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. What's David doing? Setting my course. That's where I'm going. Not, oh, I wonder what's up ahead for me next. What's the next thing that's going to happen? What a terrible course to set. What a terrible course to set. Your saying, like Brother Hagin said, keeps the switch turned on. It's called cooperation and being skillful with the Bible. You keep on saying. And he had another revelation in Mark 11:23. He said, you're going to have to do three times the saying as you are believing. Well, think about it. What's the thing trying to get knocked out of you? Not the believing. You're saying. People get so quiet. And there's people that, you know, are in the churches that are, quote unquote, believing for something, and you haven't said a word about it in weeks. You haven't declared your future. You haven't, when the symptoms rise up, when the wind blows you around, you haven't said, no, healing's mine. See, because remember, the saying is the helm. So the symptoms are the wind, the finances, these are the wind, the waves. They try to knock you off course. You know what the saying does? Puts you back on course to where you're going. That's why we keep saying it. Keep saying it. You'll have what you say. If you're not saying, you are not having. Do you get it? And the Holy Spirit, so kind of him, said this. People are missing it in this area. We shouldn't be missing it in this area. Gosh, I've beat you over the head with this stuff for 10 years. But I've missed it in this area as well at times. I mean, there are times in that financial trial for 2 years, in that sickness for 2 years, I had to give myself a talking to. Some of you need to give yourself a talking to. Shape up. Knock that off. That attitude you have, that mindset, that grumbling, that complaining, knock it off. I love telling on my kids, you know. It's part of being a pastor's kid, but there's blessings with it too, you know. Caleb came home. And this is known. This isn't just my kid being this way. It takes very rare for him to even say anything. They have I won't say what teacher it is because I don't want to, even try to point anything out. But there's a teacher in his school, very unjust. I mean, some of the things that teachers even said in front of other teachers is like, wow, and just very unjust. Very. And Caleb was complaining, and Court even got a little fired up. She sent me a text that, I'm getting sick of this because this teacher wouldn't even let Caleb go to the bathroom. And if Caleb says he has to go to the bathroom, you know, he's not one of these trying to get out of things. He just, Abby, well, she's the kid putting the thermometer on the light bulb, you know, and that'd be her, you know. Caleb says it. It's true. It just is. And complaining. And he got home, and he's like, I had my hand out for 10 minutes. And this teacher ignored me for 10 minutes. I said, bull. So you didn't have your hand up for 10 minutes. I said, put your hand up. I said, do not put your hand down. I set the stopwatch. I said, let's see how long 10 minutes is with your hand up. Well, then he realized it's not 10 minutes anymore. Because his hand starts going down, and this. And no, you put your hand up. You had it up for 10 minutes. You know, he's exaggerating. And so, but I said to him, I said, buddy, I said, I'm glad you have this teacher. It's good for you. It's character building. If you think life's always going to be easy. I said, so what? You couldn't go to the bathroom for 5 minutes. You're alive. You're fine. Look fine to me. But how many times do parents coddle that behavior? What am I getting? I'm getting something larger here with our faith. I said, knock off the complaining. I don't want to hear it anymore. How about you be different than other kids in the class and don't talk about the teacher this way? How about you walk in love and be sweet? Maybe you should pray for that teacher. What am I saying? Take the high road like Jesus does. Not get on the complaining and grumbling bandwagon, right? And I got my tree stand that night, and I sent him verses in the Bible. I said, it's wrong, and God doesn't like this. And he wrote back to me, Dad, you're right. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't care how unjust she is to you. It's not like you're coming home bloodied and bruised. And then I told him, I just like to rub things. I said, I wish every one of your teachers would like this. I said, it'd be so good for you, son. Get this out of you. And I know some of you look at me like, oh, well, first of all, I'm being sarcastic. So get off your high horse. Oh, he is just so, I'm kidding. But I like saying that stuff to him, build his character. Why? I'm not going to coddle my children all the time. But the point is this. Knock off the complaining. Knock off the grumbling. God, it's not music to his ears. It's disgusting to him. In fact, remember what he said to the children of Israel? All these years, everything I've done for you, and you're grumbling and not believing me, said, as you've spoken in my ears, so be it unto you. And they were kept out. Knock it off, people. You need an attitude adjustment. I had to give my son an attitude adjustment. You're not like the other kids. You don't act that way. You're a Christian. You don't complain about things. Why are you complaining about your sickness? You have a healer. Why are you complaining about your money and your situation? You have every answer you could ever want. A price was paid for you. And to grumble and complain and to be discouraged and in despair is you saying, I'm unaware of what you've done for me and what's available to me. Praise God. Well, I better stop. People get mad at me. You know what you need to do. You know what you need to do. Pick it up. Put it in your mouth. Start saying. People say, well, how much? You know, because a lot of people, you know, maybe have logical minds and they want to know specifics. Well, this is what I'd say. Make it a point to say it every day. Make it a point to make sure you're stealing wheels every day. And then anytime you think about it, anytime the pressure starts to come, make sure you're responding. Keep that steering wheel, the helm, in the right direction. Keeping your faith alive. Keep saying. Keep saying. Keep saying. Praise God. Some of y'all are going to walk into great things because you're just going to be dumb enough to believe the Bible. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Yeah, we need attitude adjustment. We need some changes. We need to get over ourselves. What good is that doing you? Anyways, yeah, it's not doing you any good. It's choosing to stay there and focusing on the bad and focusing on how bad it's been and how long it's been and how terrible it's been. Wasting your time. That will not magically change your situation. And you need change. You just got your help for change. Faith will make you whole. Keep on saying it. Keep on putting your eyes on Him. He's faithful, that promised. He won't let you down. It'll turn. It'll turn. It'll turn, praise God. Father, we love you so much. We praise you and thank you for your mercy. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We just glorify the name of Jesus. Now, I know everybody in here has received their salvation. But if there's somebody that's watching right now by live stream, and you can say, I don't know where I would go for eternity when that day comes, whether Jesus comes back to the earth or I die a natural death, I don't know where I'd go. And God doesn't want you to not know that. He gave you Jesus so you could be in the know, so you could have comfort and be comforted and full of peace. So if you're watching and you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, I would just ask you this question. Do you believe in Jesus? I don't mean know everything about the Bible, understand everything about the Bible. I don't care about your church attendance. I don't care about what good or bad. I'm just asking you, in your heart of hearts, not your mind, in your heart, because your head will say, oh, I don't know about that. But in your heart, do you believe in Jesus? If you do, you are a qualified candidate to receive salvation, because the Bible says in John 3:16, he that believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you're watching and you say, I don't know that I would go to heaven, but I can tell you, Pastor Mike, I do believe in Jesus, then you're qualified. And the only thing left that you have to do is Romans 10:9, which says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. We're going to all pray a prayer in here this morning. In the context of that prayer is going to be releasing our faith, asking Jesus into our life. And if you're watching this and you can say, I've never prayed this before, but I want to pray this. I want to receive Jesus. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. You repeat this after us and you mean it with all your heart. Church, go ahead and say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're real. And I believe you died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. I make you my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can open your eyes if you prayed that for the first time. We'd love to have you here in church. You know, the Bible says they that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. You know, being saved gives you heaven, but there's a long time left to go to heaven and many years left to live. You might as well live them victoriously, and you need a pastor and a church to do so. Get a hold of me. We'll get you started on that. But before we go and dismiss, can we all come in agreement? I'm going to pray a prayer. Can we just lift up our president and the first lady and just believe for healing for them? But they're going through some things. You know, I've never seen a president take more assaults and more attacks than the one that we have. And so let's lift him up. Father, we just thank you so much for the office of the President of the United States. Father, this country, the freedom that we have. And Lord, you said to pray for those that are in authority. And we lift up the President and the First Lady to you. And Father, first of all, we surround them with faith and love. And we just declare that the power of God's working in their life. Father, we thank you all attacks, all lies, all things that are false, all devious manipulations will be stopped and come to naught. Father, give him wisdom. Put people around him, Father. Surround him with faith and wisdom and people that would carry out what you want on this earth, Father God. Lord, we pray for the protection of his family and himself, Father. And Lord, we thank you for healing. Father, the coronavirus is nothing compared to Jesus. It's just a name. So, Father, we come in agreement right now for President Trump and the First Lady's healing, that all symptoms will leave their body from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. No lasting consequences, no lasting situations, no drawn out pain in this. No, we say a quick resolution for this. Amen. And Father, surround them with favor. Surround them with peace and protection. We lift up our president to you, Father. And we thank you for what's to come in this country, Lord. There's too much good that still needs to be done before Jesus comes back. We thank you the devil will not have his way in this country. In Jesus' name, can we just praise God for this now? We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And I do encourage you, be praying for your president every day. See, I don't know what to say. Pray in tongues for him for 5-10 minutes. Make power available. We love you, Lord. We praise you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, put your offerings in. No Wednesday service. We'll see you next week. Love you. Appreciate you. You're dismissed. Praise God.